Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and D. Quillen, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
All right, John, we're here at the election special. We are ready. We're ready to show all of the results for this election. We want to see exactly who won this thing. Can you tell us anything about the potential results as we currently have them now?
I can't tell you anything about the potential results.
Please tell us, because we need to know exactly.
Okay, check, Cafferty.
Do you have any results in from Montana yet? Have both people voted in Montana?
Just have it in from Uranus.
Okay.
And it was a provisional ballot.
And?
And it's tied.
So as soon as you get done listening to this election special that we're going to go off on here, make sure that you go out and vote. We're going to say that a lot over the next, 45 minutes or so.
Right.
But make sure that you go out and vote.
And if you've already voted and are listening to this, thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being a patriot.
Yes. And being involved.
Regardless of how you voted.
Right. Being involved in the system is more important than anything else. So, without further ado.
Oh, you went all French.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without further delay. That's more American. Without further delay.
Without further Tom. Delay.
Mm. Here's the election special.
Okay, so this is the election angst, I guess, for 116, because...
Go vote tomorrow.
As this goes live Monday, mm-hmm. Tuesday is depending on
as the old
your
joke
side
goes.
Of the aisle,
as,
I guess.
As the old joke goes, vote early and vote often.
Yeah, well, I voted 16 times already.
Good,
thanks
good.
To Acorn.
Good, yeah.
It's very nice, you know.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, 12 times in the same with the same lady. She didn't even look.
You didn't
at
even move. You just,
yeah.
just had him reset the machine.
Something's wrong here.
Yeah.
Could you? well, you know, when you get
oops,
the, when you get the octogenarians
yeah,
out there.
That's true.
But
he looks like such a nice old man. he's got all his teeth.
anyway, sorry.
Bless his heart.
Vote tomorrow.
Vote tomorrow.
If you
seriously,
already.
Yeah. Yeah. Vote on vax policy decisions, not because. You know, you're being robocalled to death by one group or the other.
Mm. Sidebar before we get off to the topic, though. You early voted, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And did you like that? I mean, this is the first year that I've ever early voted, too.
Yeah. I mean, I would say you usually skip lines, but I had a little bit. I mean, I was more enthused, and I'll be honest, I was more enthused because the last time I early voted, I think it was in 2004,
mm-hmm.
right? And to be honest with you, it's a bunch of white bread that was standing in line, you know? And it was exciting to see this time around that there was more ethnic groups involved.
We walked right in. The place was empty. I walked straight to the front of the line, showed him my card. Becca was right behind me, came in the same thing.
I guess Smyrna people just get out and vote more.
I guess.
I don't know.
I
don't know.
Well, we voted. We only early voted this past Saturday as we're recording.
Right.
So it was, I mean, we were kind of late into it, you know, but, I certainly was, I mean, because of the fact that I basically just walked right in and voted, I mean, we were in and out in a total of 15 minutes.
It took us a little bit longer, not long, like 45 minutes maybe.
Mm.
But
I hung around too to interpret the ballots for a couple of people too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Do you point out?
Read them too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pointed out the.
Yeah.
I didn't really say that they should vote, but I kept pointing at one hole, you know?
Right. Yeah. Did you have the electric button that you just could hit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What you need to do is hit this button. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, then make sure you touch that. Okay, great. You just voted. Thank
sorry.
You so
thanks
much.
Thanks for have a great day. No, anyway, so you wanted to talk about the let's just call them what they are. You want to talk about all the nut jobs here in Tennessee that
the
know.
Wackos, man. I don't understand. I don't understand why I don't know what Tennessee did to deserve this sort of
volunteered apparently
karma backlash, right? So you've got the wacko who blacked her eye and put the B on her cheek only backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's not from Tennessee; she's from Texas.
Right, but
when there's a picture of her she confessed or whatever, and they're leaning to the police car, she's wearing a Tennessee sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, and then of course you've got the racist who wanted to go on a killing spree and kill 88. Shoot 88 African Americans and behead 14.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least you know
while wearing
they kind
a
of
white
backed
tux.
Off on the whole beheading thing, so. You got to give them a little credit somehow. I don't know. I'm just
give them absolutely no credit. But it just seems like, man, talk about, you know, that's a kick in the sack right there.
Yeah, it is. This is payback for the Alamo, I think.
I guess.
It is kind of a kick in the sack, though. I mean, how much more can stereotypes be reinforced?
Right. I mean, but.
You know what I mean?
Well, the sad thing is we're 48th in the 50 states on education,
mm-hmm.
and these are the products of.
See, I think it has even less to do with that. Really do. I mean, I definitely think it has something to do with it.
Right.
But I mean, you know, the bottom line is, I mean, there's going to be stupid people everywhere.
Right. Sure. Right?
And just because it got the press here doesn't mean that it's all of a sudden that this is the only place it's happening. I'm sure it's happening all over the place.
Right. No.
You know, I mean,
as far as skinheads go, I grew up with skinheads in Illinois.
Sure.
I mean, they're everywhere.
Right.
Not that I was a skinhead.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I did have,
I wasn't going to bring it up.
I can't run for for county mayor now.
That's right.
Or maybe you're a terrorist. I can. I don't know. Yeah, I did.
That's
I hung out with domestic terrorists.
See? But I mean.
Who was a Polish guy. But anyway.
Bottom line, there are rednecks everywhere. The rednecks are not just limited to the
South. That is very true.
There are rednecks everywhere. And now, again, to clarify, not all rednecks are the ones that want to go out and kill everybody, you know, or
no.
You know, black people or anything like that. They don't want to do that. But I mean, it certainly does seem that. The flip side of that statement is true, that most of the people who want to go out and kill black people are rednecks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think we're actually going to see more of that crap.
Of course we are.
You know, if Obama gets elected, now I think then these idiots are going to take it to a local thing.
Right.
I mean, these guys were, you know.
Yeah, they were playing a national.
Be the martyrs right. For their cause or whatever,
yeah.
But you know, I'm interested to see how, because we're getting a major shift in this election,
mm-hmm.
right?
One way or the other
of power,
mm-hmm.
you know. If Obama wins, we've got an African American president, which is shifting,
mm-hmm.
But we're getting a younger president too,
mm-hmm.
and yep. it's the old guard, I think, are just you know they
yeah.
can sort of feel that. That their grip kind of slipping away
right.
a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, this is going to be an interesting week.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day. I was like, you know, really and truly, the vice presidential race in this campaign has meant more than it has in the past because both of these presidents have a high likelihood of dying somehow in office. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it. Obama's likely. I mean, the percentages are a lot higher for him for assassination for the same reason that they were higher for John F. Kennedy. You know, he was the first Catholic ever elected.
Right, well,
that was a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
any time that you've had any kind of major shift like that,
right? Which we could just point out, we didn't go to the crapper either then. I mean,
no,
you know,
no,
we didn't go downhill. You
no,
know
no,
I mean?
No, so. And I didn't mean to imply that we would, but I mean, I'm just saying, or that we did. That was not my point. But I mean, anytime there's been some kind of, let's call it a landmark. Anytime
okay.
there's been some kind of a landmark shift or new, you know, new benchmark that's been hit with the presidency. And I don't deny the fact that having an African American president would be. I don't deny that at all. I think that'd be a fantastic thing. if it was somebody I agree with. But that's that's just me. But I mean, because of that, he's gonna have a higher likelihood than would say a John McCain. Not because of ideology, but just because of that major shift. I mean, it's taken what 230 some odd years to get to this point,
right?
You know, that's a pretty big deal, and people do resist change.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's sort of the human nature, and that's sort of human. You know, we want to cling on to what we know, and there is that likelihood in McCain's case. He's an old man,
right?
You know, I mean, I'm sorry, that's just the case.
Right.
So that's why, in my opinion, that's why this vice presidential race has been so important. You have to look at who the vice president is with both of these candidates.
Yeah.
I hope that I'm wrong in both cases.
Right.
I hope that I'm wrong in both cases. And I really do hope that I'm proven wrong and that this country can rise above whatever choice is made and whatever difficulties they have with it.
Here's the thing that the kind of a little sidebar that is, sort of been upsetting mm-hmm. in this whole process mm-hmm. is that, you know, with this thing they're saying that he was Obama's an Arab and that mm-hmm. he's a Muslim, and he kind of got whitewashed over the fact that that does sort of then insinuate Arabs are bad.
Yeah.
Or Muslims are bad.
Yeah, it does.
And that's
does,
not necessarily the case, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they are extremists. They're extremist Christians. Yes. There's
extremists in everybody.
You know, so
or in every group, I mean.
You know, I mean, it's like turn around and saying, well, the Aryan Nation of Christ is going to be representative of all Christians.
Right.
You know, that
it's
logic
an unfair
is not,
statement. Right.
You know, but it kind of sickens me and saddens me in a bit that mm-hmm. we're going to have, one way or the other, probably a major landmark choice,
mm-hmm.
but the cost to get there by denigrating someone else is a little
right. Well, and you and I've had this conversation off mic, and we may have talked about it. We may have hinted at it on mic too. But I mean, you know, all of that stuff. I really do think that just in talking, not with just you, but in hearing all of the commentary that I'm hearing on the news, which, by the way, I have stopped listening to for the last week and a half at least, because, I mean, in my mind, who I'm voting for, I've already chosen, and there's not really anything that's going to change that, you know,
right?
Between now and Election Day. But
I mean, conversations with Derek gone. He said yeah. the other day he was trying to, I said, don't waste your time.
Yeah, no. Actually, he hasn't brought it up to me, honestly.
Really?
No, I hadn't said a word. Mm-mm.
Who's he been chatting with? Because he just said to me yesterday.
He may have been talking to Becca, though. He may have been talking to Becca.
Well.
But she hadn't said anything either. But anyway, what was I saying? I was talking about, the news commentary and stuff like that. Looking at the commentary in the news
mm-hmm.
and then listening to, you know, Joe Blow, you know, the guys like you and me who are just out here, you know, taking in all this stuff.
Joe Plumber.
Joe the Plumber. Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Joe.
He has an agent now and a publicist.
See?
And he potentially has a record deal in Nashville.
Of course he does. Of course he does.
Because he can sort of play guitar.
Tying it back into Tennessee again. Sure, why not? Why not? Stretch your 15 minutes of fame, right? But I mean, you know, I'm so sick
of... The voice of reason.
I'm so sick of that thing of avoiding talking about the issues. And I'm talking about from both sides of the aisle here.
Yeah, they were both pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, to me, this is kind of a nutshell of how the campaign went. You'd have McCain saying something about Obama's voting record, and Obama would come back and say, and I'm using one specific example. I'm not saying that was what it was all about. So you'd have McCain say something like that. And then Obama would turn right around and say, well, that's just hate speech. I can't hear, you know, that's just negative campaigning and blah, blah, blah. And then he would produce a negative campaign about John McCain which said the same thing about John McCain that McCain said about Obama,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so now all of a sudden both of them are going, well, he's running a negative campaign. Well, you both are assholes. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, there's no such thing. There can be no such thing as a positive campaign. I'm sorry.
Well,
it's impossible.
I mean, I think it is nowadays. I mean, what does she do in North Carolina? She's fall behind.
Who are we talking about? I'm sorry.
Elizabeth Dole.
Oh, no.
She just haven't been paying
attention to it that much.
She just did something where she, and I don't know, I got to find it first, but she, it seems like she ran an ad where she overdubbed someone's voice, whoever she was running against saying something like she's godless or something. I mean, it was a pretty bad manipulation of...
Wow.
Here, Campbell Brown's going off on it, but let's see what the article says. This was a godless attack ad against her opponent, North Carolina's U.S. Senate race, getting hammered in the press. Let's see. Spot on Wednesday, while Democratic Kay Hagan, the target of the ad, forcefully objected to its portrayal of her as godless.
But, okay, so again, this ties back into what I was just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Really and truly, I mean, I were that a true statement, okay, let's hypothetically speaking for a second, if that were a true statement, that might affect my vote. It might, right? But they're assuming that I'm stupid. Do you know what I mean? They're assuming that just because they say something that I'm going to take it and go, oh, okay, I guess they're, you know, like I'm not going to go look it up myself.
Right.
I hate to say it, but they're probably right. A lot of people don't.
A lot of people don't. No.
Probably true.
On both sides.
Yeah, very much so. You know, what has worried me most about this campaign is that you now all of a sudden in this campaign, neither of these guys have been able to talk about the other's voting record. Now all of a sudden, the moment that they bring up somebody's voting record, it's a negative campaign. Well, I'm sorry. That's factual.
Mm-hmm.
That's something concrete. You know, that's not something you can say this person's opinion or this person's opinion or whatever. That's something concrete. You can say this is this person's voting record. Is that what you want? You know, I mean, that's a fairly legitimate campaign to me, you know, but looking at some
breaking news, I have breaking news.
Oh, okay.
Breaking news.
You mean to give you the little teletype thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The Wasilla Weekly Paper endorses McCain.
Wow. And are you sure about just read that again? Double check that. Make sure
the follow up is. Joe the Plumber endorses McCain.
Huh.
Didn't see that one coming.
No. I do think that's funny that blew up in Obama's face. You know, that Obama was the one that brought him up in the first place. And then all of a sudden McCain just kind of took that over. I really think that's funny. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just think that's a hoot. I mean, and I would have thought it was a hoot if it happened the other way around too, you know?
Right.
But I mean, I don't know. I wish we could get to a point, not to make it a clean campaign would be nice. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, not to make it a squeaky clean, we all love everybody campaign, but just an honest, here's what I have voted for. Here's what I've stood for in the past. Here's what I'm going to do. Change things in detail. Here's what I'm going to do when I'm elected president in detail. I'm gonna create more jobs. Fine. How are you gonna do that? Well, here it is, and I'm gonna spell it out for you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That would be so refreshing. But both of these candidates have said, "Well, I'm gonna create jobs." How are you gonna do that? Well, the details are still a little vague, and I'm still working out a little of the things. And my favorite response is, "Well, we don't know what the state of the office is gonna be like when we get in office." You know, we don't know what the current president's going to leave for us. We don't know what mess he's made. Well, yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. Of course you do. I mean, first, read the newspapers. Second,
right.
Both of these candidates have been in briefings with the presidential, with the White House staff for the last, 3 months? Because it's such a huge deal? I mean, that's part of the transition of power. That's BS. Of course you will know that. You know? And it's not just one candidate or the other that's saying that, you know. So I would like to have a refreshing campaign, you know.
Well, since we're on this political rant, okay.
Okay.
Why a felon, Ted Stevens? Why is he still allowed to vote and or run for office?
Don't know.
I mean, he's a felon. He's been convicted.
I thought that was one of the rights that you lost. Wow. I thought that was one of the rights that you lost when you. Were convicted of a felony.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just don't see how that.
Where's he running though?
Alaska.
Hmm. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
I mean,
to me.
I thought if you were convicted of a felon that you can serve an office
or vote.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, you're given rights until you screw them up.
Right.
You know?
I mean, is it because he's in, he's,
who knows?
An appeal? Is that the loophole around
probably.
That?
probably. Have you heard this? Have you heard the latest kook thing that's going on about people telling people bringing up the thing that Obama hasn't released his birth certificate yet, and that makes him ineligible to be the president?
No,
I haven't. You haven't heard this one? Oh my! I'm laughing at this one so hard because I'm like, really? Seriously? I mean, you know, the guy's been elected to the Senate. Now, granted, the Senate has a different set of standards in terms of how, you know, you have the age is lower. You don't have to be, you know, a natural born citizen. You have to be a natural born citizen. Well, that's what they're claiming, is that because he hasn't released his official birth certificate, they're claiming that he was born out of the country.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm like, okay, does he have a passport? I'd be willing to bet you he does.
Right.
You have to have a valid birth certificate and you have to present it at that point in order to have a passport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, and of course, nothing that happens at this point, nothing. I mean, he could produce a valid birth certificate with the, you know, with the doctor standing right beside him, signing an affidavit, you know, swearing on the Bible, you know, I mean, right. You could do DNA tests and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. And not one bit of that evidence will mean anything to the kookballs who are saying, well, he won't release it. Well, of course, he's released it now. You know, if he does release it, you know, of course he released it. Yeah. It's a fake one.
It's a fake. Yeah.
You know, it's been doctored. You know, but I mean, the same thing is true on the other side. The whole thing about, the kooks are saying that we blew up the World Trade Centers as well. I'm like,
no,
really?
See that?
Wow.
No, you can't assign that to a party. That's just nuts.
I'm not.
You said the other side, meaning like the Democrats are.
Well, I mean, you have to admit that most of the people who are complaining about the fact that Obama couldn't run for president are probably going to be on the other side of the aisle.
Right, but okay. I didn't make that statement. You did.
I did. Well, I stand by it. Because, I mean, that's a vast majority of the people. I mean, that's a safe assumption. Most of the people who are claiming that the government blew up the World Trade Centers at the time are doing it because they're anti-Bush people. I don't understand why that's a controversial statement.
Well, you're saying you're lumping it in with. You're implying that because they're Democrat, they're nut jobs.
No, I didn't. Not at all.
Yeah.
No, the contrary.
You said just on the other side, meaning the Democratic Party, you have the people who are trying to blame.
Yes, I'm saying that both parties have their kook jobs. I thought we had just said that together.
No. Yes, but
that's my point.
Okay. No, but what I'm saying is you said on the other side of the aisle. I'm saying anybody thinks that is a nut job.
Regardless of which side of the aisle they're on.
Right.
I would agree with that. But I don't think that, I mean, you have to admit they're kook jobs because they have a certain ideology. I mean, these guys in Tennessee, to tie it back to the topic that we started on, these guys in Tennessee who are planning on, you know, killing all these people and trying to assassinate Obama, they did it because they have an agenda.
Uh-huh.
You know? Well, which side of the aisle do they fall on?
I don't know.
I would be willing to bet you that they're not on the Obama side of the aisle. I'm just going to take a wild guess.
Well, you know, the thing is, I read I can't remember who wrote the article, but someone brought forth the point that the skinhead racists would probably want to vote for Obama because that would then precipitate their race war that they've been talking about.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, there is a certain amount of logic to that.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, well, see, I think
it would give them credence.
This is what scares me. This is what scares me though, too. I think that regardless of whether Obama gets elected or not, there is still going to be the same racial strife in this country as there ever has been. Because if he's not elected, then everybody who is for him is going to say, well, it was a racial thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If he is elected, everybody who's against him is going to say, well, it's a racial thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I don't buy that. I don't think that if he gets elected, I don't think it will be because he's a black man. I really don't. I don't think it will be. I think it will have maybe about 20% to do with that.
Yeah.
If he's not elected, the same thing is true. I think it will have more to do with.
I think he's in an interesting position because he's both.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that gives
technically he is mixed race. Yes, that's true.
I think that gives him a interesting, you know,
yeah,
this sort of weird perspective, middle ground that he can act. He of all people can actually straddle the fence on.
Yeah,
so to
I mean
speak.
That's true, but that doesn't mean that he's going to all of a sudden bring everybody together. I'm sorry, that's not going to happen.
Right.
I mean the people who again the extremists. Are going to continue to be extreme.
Yeah, I mean, the people who think he's a Muslim terrorist are probably still going to think he's a Muslim terrorist.
Right. That's true.
You know?
Right.
And what's interesting, you know, my mother would, we were talking about this, and she goes, well, what do you think about this, that, and the other thing? And I said, well, if he's elected, then, and if he gets elected and turns around and goes, whoa, whoa, and puts on a turban or something,
right, yeah.
What it's going to show the world is that the Constitution works.
I don't follow you on that one.
That we have freedom of religion, not freedom to be Christian, and that we can elect someone not, you know, so that they aren't punished by race, you know, not race, well, not race and not religion and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
That it has value. That's what I think it would show.
Well, yes. But on the other side, well, yeah, no, you're right. That statement is valid, but it would also prove how gullible we are in this country.
Oh, it's already been proven.
Well, true. That's very true. I mean, that's very true. But I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm just, it's a, I know a lot of people, Becca works in retail, mm-hmm. and she said that sales this week have been almost non-existent.
Yeah.
Not because of the economy, and people have been returning stuff like more, you know, I mean, they've actually been going in the other direction, opposite, right? And she's, you know, she's been asking them stuff like that. Well, you know, what's, you know, why are you returning it? And they have to ask that question, you know, why are you returning it? And people's answer is, well, I just don't need it. But it's not, I mean, these are people who are not necessarily hurting.
Right.
Right now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, and this is totally subjective. I mean, this is totally my opinion mm-hmm. and my guess here, but my guess is that it's that people who are well off right now are fearful of what the possible outcome of the election could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, one way or the other, I'm not lumping them into either party there, but I mean, if you're pro one side, you're going to think, if you're pro Obama, you're going to think that McCain's going to screw the country up. If you're a McCain supporter, you're going to think that Obama's going to screw the country up. And people are nervous about it because the polls are so close.
Right.
Speaking of close polls, and I know we're having this, you know, 2 hour long election special here, but that's the other thing that scares me too, is that if the election is as close as it was in 2000, then we're going to see more of the people coming up and saying, you know, these votes didn't count. These votes, you know, these votes for this particular, in this particular district.
I think, yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, you've got to,
I mean, it's already starting.
I'll just say this, by the way, you do vote tomorrow, Tuesday.
Yes.
Not the Wednesday, fourth. The 4th. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're registered to vote and you're at a college away from home, you can still vote.
Yes.
Because, you know, the Supreme Court says you can.
Yes.
Did you hear about some flyer going around at Virginia Tech or something?
Oh, yeah.
Where they were like, you could lose your scholarship. No,
oh,
you
yeah.
can't.
No, you can't.
If
no,
you want to go vote and you're registered, vote.
Yeah.
Tuesday. Not Wednesday. Not Thursday. I can't believe there was some flyer that said, I can't remember. Was it Whisper? I don't remember what state it was in, mm-hmm. but it said Democrats vote on Wednesday.
Yeah. I did hear that. I've heard that as a joke. I've heard that as a joke every 4 years. You know, if you're for my party, vote on Tuesday. And if you're for the other party, vote on Wednesday.
But
I think that's
some,
funny.
There's some flyer that was being handed around. But yeah, it's Tuesday, I mean, people.
Yeah. The scary thing about that, the problem with people all of a sudden claiming that there was voter fraud. And I'm not saying that there wasn't, and I'm not saying that there will not be.
Right.
But I do think that voter fraud has become more problematic in the last, call it 12, maybe even 20 years. Okay. Now, if there is voter fraud and it continues to increase and there continue to be problems with it, then there is a significant problem with the fact that we now can't trust not only the system,
right,
but the people who've been elected through the system.
Right.
And if the people can't trust the system, if the people can't trust the government and the Constitution, then the people who are in power have a whole lot of problem on their hands.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care which party's in power. The people who are in power, the government itself, is going to have a whole lot of problems, because now all of a sudden you've got a mass of people in this country who don't believe either in you or how you got to the position that you're in.
Okay. What do you,
and I think that's going to snowball.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What's the answer? I have no idea. Other than, I don't see the problem in requiring some form of photo
Retina
ID.
Scans.
Yeah, biotech. You know, scan your thumbprint. I mean, I really don't see a problem with identifying yourself when you go in to cast your vote. If I'm a legal voter, if I'm legally registered to
I
vote,
I had to. Didn't you?
I didn't have to show my ID. I didn't have to show a photo ID. Sure didn't.
Really?
Nope.
Did you have your voter card?
All six times that I voted, I didn't have to. I'm just kidding. I did have my voter card.
Yeah.
And they did have to check that, but they didn't have my picture on it.
Yeah.
They did not ask for my driver's license. They did not ask to verify.
I think the thing that
they didn't even match my signatures. They didn't even hold up my card on my signature.
Wow. I mean, the signature they on my card. They were a little more sensitive about it.
Nope. And they were not
we
doing it to
anybody.
We take
that more seriously up there.
Well, yeah. They didn't do it to anybody who walked in the door because I was paying attention to it. You know?
But now, I thought it was interesting. One lady did bust the balls of this black guy that was voting.
For what reason?
He didn't look like his picture. Or, no, the signature was not. I mean, it looked the same to me. But,
well, yeah.
But she's like, does this look close enough to that?
Right. But see, here's the thing. So now this kind of ties back into my point. Now, all of a sudden.
Oh, he got the vote, by the way.
Which, okay, good. He's
going to turn his machine off, but he got the vote.
You've got voters who are all of a sudden going to say, well, that's going to turn me off from voting. I'm not going to want to go back. Well, okay. Well, if you're going to get your feelings hurt,
Oh, yeah. Some guy got bent out of shape when we early voted. I don't know what he expected. He expected just to walk in and vote and go away. Like, it was not a long wait.
Right.
Like, I mean, come on,
Yeah.
But I mean, we waited a half hour. And
There's two ways to look at this. There's two ways to look at this situation.
I don't know what he assumed if he just would waltz in and vote and walks out.
Right.
But yeah. He left.
There's two possible ways to look at this. One is that the lady was just doing her job. If she legitimately thought that there was a problem, then that's why she's there. Okay. The other side of that, though, is that it's easy for somebody to go, why are you picking on me?
Right. Now, I understand both points.
Yep.
She's doing a job, but she didn't challenge anybody else.
Right. Well, that you saw.
Right.
I mean, at that particular moment. And really and truly, all that guy who got challenged, that's all he cares about is the fact that he got challenged.
Right.
So, I mean, there's got to be some better way to validate that stuff.
Well,
and I mean, all
I
of this stuff about.
I don't have a problem. I mean,
all this stuff about fraudulent voter registrations and all that stuff that's coming out is, I think that is detrimental to the system.
The voter cards should have the picture.
I think that's a fine idea.
Because, I think some places were like, you got to have a driver's license. Well, if you don't have a car. I can understand not having a driver's license if you don't own a car.
Yeah, but you can get a state-issued ID that looks just like a driver's license, though.
Right, but it's not a driver's license. Yeah, but I'm saying everybody's got to get a voter card, don't they?
Yeah, in order to vote, you do.
So that's the process, then.
Right.
Have the voter card, have your picture taken at the voter card.
I don't understand, and I'm sure there's probably some legal reason, but why can't your driver's license be your voter registration card? Why can't you have all the districts and stuff like that on the back of it? Why does it have to be a separate card?
I think probably because not everybody has a driver's license.
Yeah, but I mean, well, yes, but if that's the only card that's accepted when you walk in to vote, then everybody, if you're going to vote, you would have to have one. And that would take care of the problem. So rather than printing up a bunch of separate cards.
But that would mean everybody have to go to the DMV.
See, I don't think that would necessarily be such a bad thing.
Have you been there
recently? Yeah, that's my point. The more people have to go to the DMV, the more people will,
I had to go in.
Rebel.
I had to go in because I hit my presidential age and I had to get a new driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
And they have it streamlined now where you could do it online,
Yeah.
And it'd be mounted. Except they screwed up my social security number.
Mm. See, I haven't had to go actually into the DMV until I got my first one here.
So I went in there, right, and sat there for an hour and then. 30 minutes to go 10 numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went up there, did my, what's the problem? Well, this is wrong. Oh, really? Yeah. Then I had to go over to get my new picture and the camera broke.
I'm not going to say anything.
I didn't take my picture. I mean, it was broke before I got there.
Sure.
No, it's true. And then, but she couldn't fix it because someone was talking on the phone and apparently it was on the same line or something like that. And so she's got the thing propped open going, well, I would fix it, but somebody has to get off the phone. And of course the other lady's over there going, and talking away. And I'm going, you got 12 people standing here.
Yeah. Wow. Mm.
I don't understand. I turned it on, lift the hood up.
Gotta love the DMV.
So, wow.
So, anyway, go vote tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow, November the 4th. Tuesday, November the 4th.
For both
parties. I don't care what you believe in. I don't care what your belief system is. Go and cast your vote. Keep the system honest. You know, it's gotta be. Wow. It just has to be.
Well, okay, you know, so I know we...
It's so dangerous and people don't realize it.
We don't want it to be... this will probably open up a whole other can of worms.
Sure it is. what doesn't?
What do you think W's legacy is going to be?
It depends on who writes the textbooks, honestly. I mean, I really do. I mean, that's the way it is with any president, for crying out loud. But I mean, the way he handled everything in the immediate aftermath of 9/11
mm-hmm.
was exemplary.
Mm-hmm.
The way he handled everything pretty much a year and a half after the war had started.
Mm-hmm.
was not really good at all. I think his legacy is going to be standing in front of that mission accomplished banner on the deck of the carrier.
Yeah. Shock and awe.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the sad thing is that, depending upon who you believe in, the mission accomplished banner was there specifically for a specific mission that aircraft carrier had carried out.
Mm-hmm.
And that he was there and just happened, they just set his podium up in front of it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Is that true? I don't know. Who knows? You know, the guys on the carrier do.
Right.
You know, but that goes right back to my point of saying, if we can't trust the people who are in our government, who can we trust? If we look at every single, let's take this from both sides. Bush standing in front of the mission accomplished sign. Was it real? Was it fake? Was it staged? Was it meant to be that way? Was the insinuation that yes, we'd won the war? Was that all that, you know, that's the big question, right?
Well, didn't it have to reflect in his speech? I don't remember the text of the speech, but wasn't he talking about the war being?
He talked about how successful it was.
Okay.
Up until that point, but he didn't talk about the fact that it was over. I mean, that's one of the things he kept talking about is we still got a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing is true, though. You look at as we record this, you look at the thing that you were telling me about with the Obama thing last night, his infomercial, right? Mm-hmm. All the flack is that he was standing in this room and there was office, you know, it looked like the Oval Office and it looked like the White House, and that's just not right. He shouldn't be. We've got to the point now where somebody is going to doubt the validity of everything, every single bit of minutia that any president does.
Well,
you're in opposition.
Well, I think if you're paying attention, I mean, with good cause.
Yes, but I think that overdoing it, which is what's happening now, is detrimental to the times when it really is valid.
Sure.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? So for example, the stuff that was going on with,
it does get a bit silly. I'll give you that.
It gets horribly silly from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But when
it's dealing with issues and policies and stuff, I don't think you can question enough. I mean, to be honest with you.
No, when it comes to policies, I agree. I mean, everything should be questioned there. I mean, that's the founding of the country. You know, that's ideological debate. You know, that's what we're founded on. But looking at somebody and asking whether or not, you know, whether they were truthful in what they said, you know, or whether something was staged or not, you know, they did it all through Bill Clinton's campaign. I mean, all through his presidency, you know, and in some cases it did look like that it was very much staged. You know, the stuff about him walking away from the funeral, laughing and having a great time, and then all of a sudden seeing he was on camera and starting to cry, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Those things were pointed out. You know, the staging of him dancing on the beach with Hillary, you know, those kinds of things. Everything was questioned. But it's stuff that didn't matter. Who cares if they staged a photo call with him on the beach dancing with his wife?
Right.
Who cares?
Or, you know.
Yeah. I mean, who cares? Who cares? What I care about is the thing that's going to affect how he runs the office.
Were you in favor of the whole flack about the whole Monica Lewinsky thing?
Was I in favor? What do you mean?
I mean, were you like, yeah, let's get the bastard, or did you see that as kind of silly?
I think that regardless, and I would say this, I think this is true of anybody. I don't qualify this statement. I think that perjury is a very serious issue. I think it's a very serious crime.
Mm-hmm.
It's going back to exactly what I was just talking about with not being able to trust the government. If somebody is going to lie about that, they will lie about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, every person that we voted into office has lied almost every single word that's come out of their mouth for the last 35 years or longer. You know, right. I don't doubt that. But I mean, when you're under oath and you're testifying against something, even if it's something as trivial as that, and I do grant that it is trivial, once he's under oath,
mm-hmm.
if he lies and gets away with it and is not punished, then now all of a sudden everybody else who goes up onto the stand and lies and gets caught does not have to be punished.
Mm-hmm.
Every legal case sets a precedent,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and it can be challenged. So now all of a sudden perjury is not that serious of a crime anymore.
Right.
You know, and okay. I think that's a problem. I really right. do. Okay. I really, really do. I think that there would have been much bigger things to catch him on.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that certainly didn't help the argument.
Right.
You know, at the time. But yeah, I agree. I mean, if I would say the exact same thing about George Bush, if he was put on the stand and was asked something and he lied about it and was caught and proven that, mm-hmm. you know, and it was proven without doubt that, you know, that he lied. Absolutely. Kick him out of office.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it's about. I don't care if it's about whether he ties his shoes left foot first or right foot first, you know, or whether it's anything else, you know.
Yeah.
I think if you can't take that seriously, then nothing else matters, because then anybody can get up on the stand and say whatever they want.
Right.
And it doesn't matter anymore. And I think that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I think about it. Yeah, you're right. It did open a whole nother can of worms.
Well, I think, I mean, to
give what do you think about it?
As far as W's legacy, I think he's going to go down as an ineffectual, corruptive. I don't know of him per se being corruptive,
mm-hmm.
but there seemed to be a whole lot of corruption things happening under his watch.
Mm-hmm. See, I think you could say the same thing about Clinton, too.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It bothers me that we went to Iraq for weapons of mass destruction,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't find any. And then it's, no, that's, did we say that really? Did we really say that? No, it's about the Iraqi people. Okay.
Did you listen to his speech at all when he actually announced that? Reasons for going to war?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah. I think they lied.
There were four reasons we went to war.
Okay. What were they?
Two of them, I'd have to go back and look it up because I don't know what I was talking about, but two of them were the Iraqi people and weapons of mass destruction. Those were two of them. I don't know what the other two were. I would honestly have to look it up.
Right.
But I remember there were four points. So, but this is one of those cases where both people, both sides of the issue here are in the right.
Mm-hmm.
The people who say he lied about weapons of mass destruction, sure, that's arguable. Absolutely. The same thing can be said. Did we do it for the Iraqi people? Maybe. That's arguable as well.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I don't see.
I think that weapons of mass destruction became a mantra.
Well, it was so beaten in. I mean, it was part of their justification and part of the justification of people that were saying that it was a lie. I mean, it became this thing larger than mm-hmm. probably what the cause was.
Very much so.
You know? And the fact is, you know, maybe he had them. Saddam Hussein had him 30 years ago, but you couldn't find him now.
Mm.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole,
the thing that really upsets me about this, and you know, about this is that regardless of whether you think the war is right or wrong, we have people over there that are serving and dying.
I agree with that 100%.
And we have them come back and we have, sorry, you can't go to college. We didn't really mean to, you know, that whole.
Where's that happening?
Yeah, I've had students here say, I have a perfect example. A kid, Jimmy Voss, was in Iraq, came back, GI Bill, right? Was part of the National Guard for a while. Got in a really non-war related, but got in an accident, right? And had brain damage and had trouble walking and that kind of stuff. But was still trying to come back to school.
Okay.
Right? He told me when he was in my class that semester that he had received letters that they were going to take away his college funding because they didn't know what to do with him. Because he couldn't physically perform in the Guard.
Wow. Yeah, and I do know that, I mean,
that's not right.
No, it's not. But, I mean, the way that the GI Bill is set up right now, I think you have to serve a certain amount of time in the Guard.
Right.
The way it's set up now. I mean, so is that right? No. You know, I mean, to me, standing in front of somebody, you know, a bunch of people who are shooting bullets and setting off, you know, bombs around you, I think that qualifies you for a little bit of money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And
I think you're entitled.
Care.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I've had several veterans that come in and talk
like
about
my father-in-law's
their medical care.
My father-in-law is the best example I can think of. He was in Vietnam. He was a grunt. He was an infantryman in Vietnam and saw the worst of the worst. And is 100% disabled from post-traumatic stress. He took a punji stake to the leg. He got Purple Heart. He went through it.
Right.
I mean, horribly so. And because he's disabled now, because they finally, it took him a long time to do it, but because they finally were able to classify him as 100% disabled, you know, he doesn't have to pay taxes. He's, you know, he's given his income from Social Security and from his, basically it's, you know, his, VA benefits and stuff like that. And I'm like, absolutely. Absolutely. He deserves every last penny of that and probably more.
Right.
You know, so are there problems with the system? Yes. But that's why the system is set up like it is, so that we can fix the problems that are wrong with the system.
Well, we need to fix them then.
Yeah.
The other thing that's upsetting to me, is this whole private army contractor thing that suddenly just kind of
developed.
Well,
that's been around for decades though.
What, you didn't know about it, you know?
No.
But my thing is, I have a college kid who had a back injury, suffered in Iraq, who, you know, I don't know, they take my classes or something. But anyway, he, you know, he's saying, I was getting paid $28,000, guarding a guy getting paid $200,000 to drive a semi truck.
Right.
That's not right either.
No, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
I just think W's legacy is just, it's going to be tarnished. There's not, yeah. I mean,
see,
of
I
course,
think,
it'll, it'll, it'll be tarnished until he dies. And
sure.
And then he'll be an angel like everybody
is. Well, yeah, maybe.
Because he did it to Nixon. Come on.
Not
when he died. When he died, everybody went, "Oh, he's a great guy."
There is respect for the dead, but I would be willing to bet you that a vast majority of people don't think Nixon was an angel.
No. But I'm talking about his funeral. Did you watch his funeral?
Well, come on, you can't go to somebody's funeral and say this guy was a bastard.
You can't at the same time talk about how he was a great American either.
You can talk about his positive accomplishments, whatever they were.
Right.
You know. Come on. Respect for the dead.
Respect for the dead?
Yes, respect for the dead. Would you want somebody to stand up at your funeral and talk about what an asshole you were?
Sure.
Wow.
Be truthful.
Okay, well, fine.
Be truthful.
I wouldn't. I would want to be remembered for the positive things that I did.
Like being an asshole.
Okay. All right. Anyway, this election special has been brought to you by... Anyway, go vote. Go vote. We got to wrap this up. Go vote. We've rambled on enough. Go vote. It's the fourth Tuesday, November the 4th. Go vote.
For both people, both parties.
Yeah.
All parties.
Multiple times. So maybe, vote early, vote often.
So maybe the Green Party. You're on the 7th.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
No, he's kidding. Go vote on the 4th. Everybody, vote on the 4th.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show like I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
I'm still tied in Uranus.
They seem to be kind of hung up there, don't they?
Lynette's are clinging on.
Up there in Uranus. It's a good thing we don't have a solar system wide vote, because that would be hard to give election results from Uranus.
Yeah.
You know?
Just from my asteroid.
What would they be called? Uranites?
Uranites. Uranians?
Uranians. That's it. Yeah. Now that's dangerous too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, I think, you know, I think we've actually kind of set a precedent here on the show.
One of many.
But, I mean, we really have. We've actually really tackled.
We're the only show that lowers the bar every time out.
That's right. We have really taken on the responsibility of tackling some of this country's most difficult problems just absolutely head on. And we've solved several of them.
We have.
You know, and we really have. And I think.
Bipartisan.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
across the,
which I was thinking about this the other day.
Run a rug, we have.
Speaking
office.
Of,
we don't really have an aisle.
No, we really don't.
We're run a rug.
Yeah, you know, if you think about it, and this is, I keep all these catchphrases that are used, you know, over and over and over again, and bipartisan has become one of them. Kind of like being over and over and over again. Is that what you're talking about?
No, just flashing to my friends. I hear my friends.
Oh, yeah, my friend.
And it's your Joe the Plumber.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not just those. I mean, it's the stuff that happens outside of campaigns even, when we're supposedly getting things done. Stuff like, you know, a bipartisan effort.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it, by definition, need to be bipartisan? Because, I mean, I know there are certain majorities and minorities in the houses and stuff like that, but, I mean, you gotta have votes from all of the members. Doesn't that kind of become redundant to say that it's something as a bipartisan effort? I mean, if there are two parties that exist in a legislative body.
Yeah.
Like everybody else.
I think bipartisan is just code for we all think this is a good idea.
See, I think it's code for, and both parties use it for the same thing, to say, this is what we want to do, and we're going to say it's bipartisan because we want to slip it over on you. I think that the concept has become saying something is bipartisan all of a sudden makes it better. And I think that everything is bipartisan.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of legislating. I mean, I know that not everything is bipartisan, but I mean, when it comes to, you know, coming up, writing bills and passing them into law, it's going to take a bipartisan effort to get it done.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I guess I'm just becoming more and more jaded to catchphrases used in campaigns. It's become rhetoric again,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it doesn't mean anything anymore. The term bipartisan doesn't mean anything to me anymore.
Yeah.
So that's a real up way
to
end it, huh?
Yeah, that sounds like a selfish partisan against me.
Okay.
Someone's bipartisan, you know. Yeah. Selfish partisan, like, either way, switch it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
I thought we had amendments against that, but apparently it hadn't passed.
No. Mm-mm. Not yet.
No. All right.
So, anyway, thanks for voting. We're going to assume by this point you've been listening to the podcast.
We've talked long enough.
In line.
We've talked long enough. You probably hit play, went out, got in your car, gone away, voted,
put it on your iPod, stood in line. You know.
And
subliminally, if you go back and play this backwards, we were both sending you subliminal messages about who to vote for. So if you were listening to this while you were at the polls, wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's really screwed up for you. Yeah. Must have been conflicted.
Mm-hmm. You probably voted green, didn't you?
Yeah, probably did. Okay.
I just can't wait for the next election when we can have some hybrid, like the libertarian green socialists.
Right. You know what? I've been seeing a lot more Nader signs just like all of a sudden.
Right.
Popping up around town. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
It's like all of a sudden, I was like, I didn't think he was running again. You know? Well, I mean, I saw him on the ballot.
You know, he waits forever out.
Right, because that's smart.
You know? And then,
but there were a bunch of
his attack.
It always surprises me to see exactly how many people there are running for president when they put the ballot in front of you.
Yeah,
you know, people, you're like, who in the hell is this?
Yeah, people who are running for president to abolish the Constitution, right. And stuff like that.
Right. What's your platform? Well, we think that the U.S. government sucks.
I think the president is corrupt, and I want to abolish the presidency.
Okay.
Let me know how that works out for you. Anyway, thank you for voting. We'll see you next week for 117.
That was Marvin the Martian.
It was.
Thank you for voting.
Anyway. Anyway, that's it.
As we get sued.
Yeah, right. So I guess we'll be able to talk next week about exactly what the outcome was and all that stuff. Too.
We'll finally know.
Yeah.
Whose nuts are these?
This Podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.